Monday nights, up late. Broadcasting from stolen land. Satellite skies. Satellite skies. Satellite skies. Highlighting DIY and autonomous politics, music, and subculture with a different theme each week.
That was White Ring with IXC999. You are listening to Satellite Skies on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au. We are broadcasting from the lands of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nations. This land was never ceded. It's Kulin Nations land. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. When we extend our respect and acknowledgement to elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing resistance of First Nations people throughout these lands. And on that note, there is still an alert for people to come out to Jupurung Heritage Protection Embassy, where the Vic Roads and contractors moved in a couple of weeks ago and cut down the directions tree, which is a tree of great cultural significance to Jupurung people, at the same time as they've acknowledged the like coloured weird wood house things on Brighton Beach, which are just made to look like a beach in England, as heritage. So the constant devaluing and desecration of First Nations cultural heritage in this country is so shocking and confronting, but people are continuously resisting and fighting for land and calling for people to come out and support. So if you can go down to the embassy, go down to Jupurung, you can find information on the Facebook or website of Jupurung Embassy. Get on down there, or you can also find out about ways to support from Nam or other places around Victoria or anywhere. So, yeah, you're listening to Satellite Skies. This is my first time back in the studio for a significant period of time, so it's a little bit confusing to remember how things go. But today we've got an interview with a member of Husk, and so I will just let the interview happen for itself. I forgot to cut off the start part, so.
Record. Okay. So I'm here interviewing Em from Husk. Hi, Em.
Hi.
And I guess, so part of what I'm wanting to do on this radio show is explore just different projects people are doing, especially independent projects that are around community care, collective care, and I think I was mentioning to you before that often a lot of these projects are less visible, but so valued and so important in building relationships, building movements and building a different way to relate to people. So I guess first I'm wondering, like, what is Husk and what does Husk do?
So Husk is a housing collective for people who are marginalised because of their gender, so people of marginalised genders. And we support each other and people who are facing homelessness or domestic violence or a combination of things, or just people who would like some community, somewhere to hang out, or might be struggling financially or a number of different things. And we tend to generally be supporting people who are often youth, but sometimes we do have also some elderly people that engage with us as well, and we link in with different housing organisations in now also in Mianjin, but mostly in Nam. And yeah, mostly we're doing housing work as a squatting collective, and we now have some rental houses as well for people.
And so you provide housing to people, you link them with other housing, or some combination of all of that?
Bit of a combination, but mostly we provide people with housing that we find, whether it's squats or whether it's rentals. So we find different houses through private rental, and then fund that from fundraising or the collective will, we pay for all of the houses and sort of share it across all of them so that they're all kind of supported, and that way people who might be asylum seekers or people who are here without eligibility to get Centrelink or don't have jobs can just stay for free, and other people can stay very cheaply or pay what they feel, and everyone can be supported that way. And sometimes people actually prefer to live in squats that we open up, or that we, like, if they would like to learn how to do that, then we sort of show them how to do that. And that's what, it just sort of depends on what people's needs are and what they want to, how they want to live.
What's really sad? What's really sad? What's really sad?
That was Garmin Bozia with Ugly, and before that, Sickoids with Delusion. We are going to return to the interview, an interview with M from Husk.
And how did Husk start?
So there were a lot of people wanting to start a squatting collective, and this is just my perspective, obviously. So I reckon everyone would have a different interpretation of how it started. But for me, I felt like there was sort of a collective understanding that squatting kind of was more for cis white dudes, and the skills for it were being shared mostly just amongst cis white anarcho dudes. And it was kind of hard for people to live in those environments because they were often very dirty or sometimes unsafe, or there might be people who were abusing other people there often. And I think a lot of people simultaneously got frustrated at the same time, and that kind of drew people together into wanting to live somewhere together that was maybe a little bit safer, but at the same time also wanting to actually make an active collective that was a social space and place that could help others with housing and other issues that they might be struggling with, with an anarchist perspective. So yeah, we had our first meeting in a squat in Q, in a house that was actually owned by the neighbours, so that didn't last very long. The landlord, well, the owner was a priest, but he wasn't very, he was pretty happy to kick us out without sort of, engaging much or, seeing if we were okay or anything like that. But, that's sort of how it started for me, I think.
And then how has Husk changed over time? Because it's been, how long ago was that?
It was about 3.5 years ago, maybe even 4 now, or maybe 3, I think, But it's changed a lot. We used to have heaps and heaps of meetings, which was good, at that time, it was useful for us then, and I feel like meetings and communication is really important. Always. But there were, I guess, more kind of requirements to be part of Husk, and there was a lot of different rules and things that have changed, and so now we tend to have a little bit less things to be part of the collective, which kind of works for what our needs are now, and that could change, but it seems that it's working quite well at the moment. And we used to do all of our housing with squatting, so that was a lot of work. So all the time we were scouting for houses that we could live in as well as other people, and opening houses all the time. And basically, we would have actions from some of the houses. There was one house that we had for 9 months that was a public housing property, and it was empty for ages and ages before we moved into it. Then we managed to stay there for 9 months without being noticed. Certainly wasn't being used for housing anybody, as it should have been. And then we were finally asked to leave, and then we had a campaign around that because we wanted to bring attention to the fact that properties weren't being used properly. That was in Port Melbourne. It was a beautiful house. It was 2 stories. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no reason for it to be empty for so long and not used. So we were doing a lot of that. But as we've gone along, I guess it's been more and more noticeable that squatting's kind of not really for everyone. A lot of people, it's good, but for other people, they might not feel safe or be safe because of their visa status or just mentally they don't feel safe. So that's why we started also offering some rental houses for people who just want a bit more stability, or can't afford to get caught with a trespass charge or something like that. So that's changed quite a lot since now we also have to pay rent. So now we're doing a lot of fundraising and things like that. And obviously also having
Mianjin
and some houses up here, that's really different as well, because that's a whole new state.
Time has come.
That was Aluna with Fire.
The Jabiru Heritage Protection Embassy is asking for support. On Monday 26th of October, a sacred directions tree was cut down on Jabiru women's country. Traditional owners have called this an act of cultural genocide, and more sacred trees remain under threat as works continue. Here's what you can do. 1. Come to the embassy and protect the trees on the ground. Visit the Jabiru Heritage Protection Embassy Facebook page for more information about how to get there and what to bring. 2. Ring Daniel Andrews on 9651 5000 and let him know what you think. 3. Educate yourself about the situation and spread the word to others. 4. Donate to the embassy on their GoFundMe page. 3CR supports the Jabiru Heritage Protection Embassy. No trees, no treaty.
And so there's actually a Chuffed fundraiser now, rather than the GoFundMe, that people can donate to support the ongoing fight for the protection of Jabiru country. And now we'll return to the interview with M from Husk.
And how, like, you know, I guess when you're sort of talking about, like, the collective and then obviously, like, people live in their houses, like, how do people contact Husk and what's the relationship between, like, the collective and people who might be seeking housing or support in that way?
Yeah. So often we get people commenting on posts or people who will contact us through the page on Facebook, because we have a Husk page. Sometimes people refer other people, especially if they have been, like, lived with us before, or maybe we've done food packages for them or something like that. Sometimes people refer each other, especially younger kids. And also through, yeah, friends, sometimes people in the lefty scene, they know somebody who might need to leave where they're living because of domestic violence or something like that, and just ask if we could support that person through that, or yeah, with other things. And it depends on the person, in relation to their relationship with us and organizing and stuff. Some people want to be involved, like, in doing organizing stuff, so then they are more, like, in an active role, and other people just kind of want somewhere to live and somewhere to feel safe and relax for a while, so that's what they might do. And others like to be somewhere in between or tap in and tap out, which is all fine. So that's sort of why some of the guidelines for being part of the collective have changed quite a bit, just so that that's open to people, so that the housing is for and by people that are affected by poverty and other issues, patriarchy, all these kinds of fun things.
And are there, like, you know, because I think it is so interesting in terms of, like, housing stuff, especially, you know, now paying for rentals and things like that, like, how does Husk Collective sort of think about, you know, if there are rules or how long people can stay in housing, or how does people sort of think about access to that housing? Because, you know, a lot of places, obviously, people might be able to, you know, through services access, like, a certain short-term limited kind of housing, or, you know, yeah, I think that stuff is really interesting in terms of a DIY project.
We have basically it's as needed. So we have a really strong focus on long-term stable housing as being a really important part of people being able to get on their feet and work out, like, things that can help them going forward. So one of the flaws with normal kinds of housing services is that people get moved around, they don't have any agency, and they have really short-term placements with people that they often would prefer not to be with, or people they don't feel safe with, and they could be put anywhere around Melbourne or outside Melbourne, and often it's very far away in places like Seaford, Pakenham, if you're lucky, Broadmeadows, somewhere on a metro train line, but more often than not it's very far away, and people obviously don't always have cars or petrol money or even transport money, and there's not often a lot of jobs way out in the back of beyond, so it's not ideal. So we really try to have places available for people for as long as we can, and as they want to, and that's pretty important, especially if people have issues with child protection and they need to get their children back. They can't be moving around all the time because that's going to slow that process down a lot and make everything a lot harder. So in that way, we've been able to help people get reunited with their kids, which is great. And that's, yeah, basically we don't ask anyone to leave, and we just sort of have to keep in mind what our capacity is before we offer people a place. But yeah, it's generally pretty manageable, but we do a lot of fundraising so that we can cover those costs.
We'll be right back. interest in me. I'm in the
'Twas Apteria with Dreams of Resistance, and before that we heard Pazahora with No Peaceful Solution. You are listening to Satellite Skies on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au, I think, yeah. And this, we're going to cut back to an interview conducted with M from Husk Collective.
Would you say have been the big learnings of the project, like either for you personally or, you know, things you've sort of explored as a collective over this time?
I think organizing in a less formalized way and in more context-based ways, that was something that was a big change for me. Because I guess I was finding that it's harder to, I guess, be creative and be motivated for a long period of time when there are a lot of hoops to jump through in the organizing process, and if things are really complicated or if people have to have multiple different boxes ticked for all of the things, when I guess sometimes it's not as necessary, and just working out like what a process that doesn't kind of stifle things could be, and like just kind of trialing different sorts of processes without having like nothing at all, because that's a bit irresponsible, but just trying to make sure that people have space to do things that they want that don't negatively affect others, obviously. But so that things don't get stagnated. That was a pretty big deal. And obviously also, changing to, as much as it's really kind of like no one wants to have to pay a landlord and all of these things, but kind of realizing that squatting's not really accessible for every person, and maybe if we want to be housing people in a more accessible way, that might have to rent. That was kind of a challenge. But yeah, I think it's worked out quite well for everyone, really, having that stable place, even somewhere just to keep things that, you know, won't get stolen or thrown onto the street is good.
And what would you, you know, what are Husk's hopes, I guess, for the future in terms of the project, or, you know, or building partnerships or relationships with other projects or anything?
We've got a few different goals. There's obviously being able to support as many people with housing. I know there's people might have heard about the Bridging Visa E chaos that's happening at the moment, which is where there are hundreds of people in the guess, all of the eastern states, but not in Melbourne yet. But people have been evicted from their community detention properties because they're asylum seekers and the government decided to cut costs. And so they've been asked to find employment, even though they haven't had work rights while they've been in community detention, and they also weren't given the right to study. So often people can't speak English or can't write in English and haven't got any Australian studies to support their resume, or don't have a resume and all of these things. And also have to find somewhere to live, sign a lease, all of these things within 3 weeks. Initially they had no time, and then there was some negotiations for 3 weeks. So being able to support people in Melbourne with that seems like it's definitely going to happen. That would be great, but we would definitely need to do some more fundraising before we could do that. And making sure that everybody in Meanjin is supported through that as well, because that's sort of coming to an end now. We don't think anyone's going to be evicted from community detention anymore, but we don't know. It could happen at any time, so there's that possibility. But also wanting to link in with other anarchist organizations and groups doing housing work and other kinds of community work would be really great. And Cuddle at the moment, CUDL, they're also doing some different, all different projects. They have an outreach group at the moment that's going out and doing different things, and they want to start doing some housing stuff as well. So we might start doing some housing stuff with them. And yeah, it'd be good to get more people involved in the squatting side of things as well, so that hopefully once COVID has chilled out a bit, that can just be something that more people can join in with, because that's kind of what we're about, really. So I want to keep that.
We'll be right back. nossas, a voz construído pelos ossos das costas dos nossos avós, construído pelos ossos das costas das nossas, a voz construído pelos ossos das costas dos nossos avós, construído pelos ossos das costas das nossas.
That was Filhad da Luta by Maafa. Before that, Killing Sisters by Hell Sister. And we are going to go into the last part of the interview with M from Husk.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this about the project. Like, I wonder, is there anything else you'd like to say or share that we haven't talked about?
I guess if people know somebody or are questioning whether someone they know is safe or, you know, in a relationship that seems like something's not really right and, you know, if there's like any doubt about those things, to make sure that they do take some kind of role in either supporting that person or just making sure that it's kind of this shared responsibility for everyone in the community to kind of make sure that people they know are doing okay and that they reach out to places that could be us or other groups to just make sure we support everyone and they feel like they have somewhere safe that they can go. I guess yeah. A lot of the time we will hear from people several months or years later or at a party or somewhere that something's gone very badly wrong and someone is living in an unsafe place because they had no other option. And a lot of people in the Husk Collective will be like, okay, but we know you. You've known us for a long time. Why didn't you, you know, maybe get in contact? And they're like, oh, yeah, that might have been a good idea. So we are always available for that sort of thing. And anyone is in danger or might be in danger, then please let us know or let anyone know. But yeah. That'd be good.
Well, yeah, thank you again so much for sharing. I feel like it's really interesting to hear about how different projects and ideas develop and think about, you know, I guess projects within the context of building movements and building relationships. And, you know, so many people are doing stuff like this everywhere, you know, that, yeah. And like, you know, within their families and community groups and cultural and religious groups. And it's really interesting to think about how to build more connections with these ideas, like of, yeah, shared responsibility, collective care, across difference as well, which is really amazing.
Yeah, it's really important to not reinvent the wheel. I find a lot of the time, sometimes there are things being done that, especially through different organizations doing housing work that are more mainstream, particularly for asylum seekers and refugees. People will say, oh, there's no one who can take these children, or there's no one who can support this family with housing, or there's nobody who could possibly do this. And we might know several different community groups in that person's community that would be willing to help them or would be willing to help other people. But because maybe the mainstream housing service is majority white organizers or people who do things in one particular way, there's kind of not that consideration that there are other groups and even religious groups that could be useful for people. So
Well, yeah, thanks again. It's been great to talk to you, and look forward to, you know, hearing more and engaging with Husk in the future.
Cool. Thanks for having me speak. Nice talking to you. And yeah.
So we're coming to the end of the show today. And I just wanted to, you know, again, another call to read about what's happening at Jatpurung Embassy and how you can support. But also on Monday, 5 p.m., there is a demonstration or gathering in front of the AFP headquarters in the CBD. Stop the AFP militarizing West Papua. And also next Friday, 20th of November at 8 p.m. On Facebook live stream, we're having a virtual concert for Vanuatu hosted by The Change, Lucinda and Tiv Tuvalu Block Party Community. It's a free event, but with donations encouraged to raise money for the nursery adaptation project in Futuna in Vanuatu. It says, Futuna Island is situated on the eastern side of Tafia province in Vanuatu, and as a result of climate change issues, Futuna is increasingly vulnerable, particularly to natural disasters. Over this period, weather extremes have intensified, continuous drought, rising sea levels, damaging to the livelihoods of many across the island and impacting on food stock and security. So the nursery adaptation project will provide accessible learning environment to revive indigenous agricultural techniques, including restocking and preserving root crops and native plants to boost food security during a time of climate change. This will also present an opportunity for this knowledge to be passed on by elders. And that's a quote from Iso Nimai, the Vanuatu coordinator. So you can find it by searching Block Party Community Virtual Concert for Vanuatu on the Facebook page, or by searching for The Change United Struggle Project. And so it'll be a few hours, like 5 hours of music with Cat House Collective, Combat Wombat and the Voices Factory, many things. So please jump on. There's also a link to the fundraiser, even if you can't make it. You know, there's a lot of fundraisers right now, but if now is not a time to be redistributing resources to places that need them from places where there are more, then when whenever will be that time, I guess. So yeah, it's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll go out listening to Atari Teenage Riot with Riot 1995.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.